Good morning and welcome to this week's edition of Kingdom Keys Weekly, a gospel broadcast designed to help believers grow in grace and in knowledge, where our message is the kingdom and our mission is to develop the kingdom mindset. We now join our broadcast already in progress, so join us as we receive our host, pastor, and teacher, Pastor Chris Taylor.
We want to say good morning and welcome to all of you who are joining us today. This is the day the Lord has made. We're here to rejoice and to be glad in it. Well, we want to again express our gratitude to all of you who continue to join us and support us week after week. All of this, you know, would not be possible without the dedicated members of C.L. Taylor Community Outreach Ministries. Again, we continue to bless God for your continued support and how you continue to give and be obedient in your giving as we know it according to Malachi chapter 3. And again, to all of you who are not members of C.L. Taylor Community Outreach Ministries, but you continue to listen in and to support us, again, we're grateful as well. We, again, want to express our gratitude to all of you, again, for keeping this connection with us, this spiritual connection. Again, this is our midweek Bible study where we are in the study of the Old Testament, aspect of the Levitical work of Jesus as it relates to him being in the order of Melchizedek according to our studies. And so, again, we want to take this opportunity to thank God for this privilege and to invite him to be our teacher and our guide and to invoke his presence. So if you would bow your heads with me. Again, God, we're grateful for this privilege to be able to come before you again to express our gratitude for all that you've done and to express our desire to be closer to you, our desire to be more like you, our desire to have the knowledge of you and according to what you show us today, God. We're grateful for the revelation and we're grateful for your connection and how you stay connected with us spiritually and how you keep us connected one with another through the same spirit, the same word, and the same mindset. And we're grateful to all that you've done. In the name of our Christ, again, we invoke your presence to be our teacher, our guide, our leader today. This is our prayer in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. And we pray and say together, amen. All right, again, thank you so much for joining us. And we were grateful to those of you who joined us in fellowship this week as we and our first Sunday communion service and short fellowship. And we know for some of you that's a long drive for time, but we sure appreciate the privilege of the opportunity that we can come together in a safe way outside. And, you know, as weather permits and things of that nature, we will be making those adjustments as we, as, you know, the time change and as we become more a little bit closer to those time frames, we'll make sure you are aware of those moving forward, okay? But we want to go ahead and continue and get right into our study. Again, this is our Kingdom Keys, where the kingdom is our message and developing the kingdom mindset is our mission. That's our goal. We want to be kingdom-minded. And so here with this privilege, with this opportunity, we're going to take this time. And again, we're studying the book of Leviticus. And some of you may remember from some of our previous studies of the book of Leviticus, you know, we express this, we've learned that in order for us to really understand the work of Jesus Christ and the work at Calvary and the significance of the ceremonies and the events that were typified in the Old Testament and then fulfilled in the New Testament. Those are the things that we take privy to and we want to understand. Again, the key word in the book of Leviticus is atonement, right? This was the atonement for man. This was our connection back to God. And so We are also using this as our title for this segment of studies that we're doing in the book of Leviticus. We wanted to remember that this first part, now we divided Leviticus, or Leviticus has two main divisions within itself, right? We had the first part, which is chapters 1 through 16, and that segment, our topics will be the way to God by sacrifice. And we talked about that a few weeks back. And then the second segment of our study, the book of Leviticus, picks up at chapter 17 and concludes with verse number 27. And we talk about the walk with God by sanctification, right? We got the way to God by sacrifice and the walk with God by sanctification. Those are the two main divisions of this study of the book of Leviticus, of this book that we're going to indulge in study. And then the other two, remember, the main teaching of this book is how sin is put away. And this is what the concept is that connected us with our study in John, when John said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away or puts away the sin of the world." This is how it's understood. And we wanted to say that, remember, there were two great commandments in this book that you will discover. And those commandments were to, one, be holy, and then, secondly, be clean. And that's what we want to really deal with as we talk about the aspect of the burnt offering, you know, the whole burnt offering as we've been studying. Now, the reason why this is important, because we're studying the work of the priest, and we're also going to study not only the work of the high priest, but we're also going to study the tabernacle in the wilderness where his work was conducted, which gives us a revelation of the work of Christ. And so that's what we're going to pause to take a look at. So you won't have one particular scripture that we'll look at in Leviticus, but there'll be a few ones that I'll pull out in the chapter as we go. And of course, I'll give you those scriptures as we move forward. So remember, studying the book of Exodus took us to Mount Sinai, where Moses received some detailed instructions on how to build this meeting place for God and the people of Israel. And so this tabernacle that it was called was the place of worship and involved specific protocols and procedures. Again, this tabernacle was the place of worship, and this place of worship involved specific protocols and procedures. And these protocols and procedures were specifically detailed by God himself. Now, these details or these instructions would describe the work of Jesus Christ, and what the work of Jesus Christ was to restore the relationship between God the Father and the people of Israel, or really all of mankind. And that's what the work would describe. These instructions would describe the work of Jesus Christ, and his work was to restore our relationship to God the Father. Now, these procedures and protocols, again, will provide the avenues or the means for God and the people to dwell with each other. And this was at his request. What am I saying? God specifically wanted a relationship with the people, and he wanted a place that he could dwell among us, right? So Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8, you'll see God says to Moses, he says, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." He wanted their involvement in making it because he also wanted their involvement in developing this relationship with him. And so there was some work that he wanted them to do, and we'll talk about. But what we'll see is that this framework of this tabernacle that God revealed to Moses, it also revealed what effort that God would put forth to draw his people back to himself again through this system of sacrifices. And the system of sacrifices would be the things that would specifically bring salvation to the world. Again, this was all given to Moses in the tabernacle, because God wanted to dwell among us, right? So this was the temporary or the tabernacle that was typified in the Old Testament, right? Well, how is the anti-type identified in the New Testament? Well, John chapter 1, verse number 14, says, and the word became flesh and tabernacled or dwelt among us, right? And God says, I want them to let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. And then in John chapter 1, we see where God says the word became flesh and tabernacled among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Again, so again, if we're talking about our types and our anti-type, again, so the type, what else did we say the type was? The historic happens in Exodus chapter 25, verse number 8. Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them. But we discovered that the anti-type or the fulfillment, the prophetic aspect, takes place in John chapter 1, verse number 14. And the word became flesh and did dwell among us, right? So this is the aspect. Remember, our concept today, our theme is the way to God by sacrifice. The way to God by sacrifices. And so what we're going to see is that this structure connects us with the Christ, beginning with not just the tabernacle itself, not just the work of the high priest, but also the furniture and the arrangements and the shape that was within. We'll discover that it typifies the cross that Jesus would bear, right? And the arrangement of the tribes and how they were to enter into the tabernacle and how they positioned themselves and they camped themselves around on the Day of Atonement and what it represented. Again, all things in this meeting place would point to Jesus Christ, his crucifixion, and the work that God was doing to draw us back to a relationship to himself, again, that we might experience this aspect of restoration of the relationship with God. So every detail that Christ accomplished that we're going to see is was designed to restore our relationship with God, and can be discovered in not only in the wilderness tabernacle, but we're going to discover these things within the work of Christ and the work of the high priest, and especially when it comes to the actual sacrifice or the burnt offering, right? So he got these instructions to make them a tabernacle. We know that the cross is the key, and we know and we realize that, remember, Luke told us that when Hebrews made it clear that the tabernacle itself is a shadow of any type of heavenly things. And Jesus himself also made it clear to his followers when he was the subject matter of those heavenly things. You remember, especially on those men on the road to Emmaus, and what did the Bible say in Luke 24 and 27? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures concerning himself, all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. So again, this was the work of Christ was shown to us in type, even with the construction of the tabernacle and the things that took place within. So let's get back to our connection, because one of the things that we will discover within the tabernacle itself was the altar. And it was the altar of sacrifice. It was where you had the table of showbread, you had the altar of incense, you had the candlesticks. But outside on the outer court, you had a brazen laver, and you had what we call the altar, where the animals were, or the offerings were sacrificed, and the things that it detailed within themselves. So walking in was the place of sacrifice and washing. That was the most important aspect, the first thing that you saw coming into the outer court of the tabernacle. And that is where the animals were slain. and where the sacrifice was laid and the altar there where and all the things where the washing of hands and the washing of the animals and all those things that took place were all named there. So again, remember in Leviticus, the burnt offering, and we know about the three different grades, the wealthy, the middle class, and the poor, and the accommodation that God made so that there was no excuse for you not to come to him. It didn't matter who you were or what your status was. There was still an avenue provided for you to come. All were welcome, rich, middle class, poor. It didn't matter to God. All were welcome, and it's still the same thing. So we learn, again, that only the clean animals could be offered, and those that were offered, what was offered to God had to be holy and had to be perfect and without blemish. Remember, we learned last week that in Malachi, God had to challenge the people because they were bringing him animals that were lame and sick and blind and all these other things. And God says, where's my honor in your giving? What is this? You know, this is not what I've required. So, the concept of this offering when it was made, now again, the typical meaning of the burnt offering, it was not an offering that was made for sin. And we'll discuss the sin offering later, and I want to talk about that. But the burnt offering, I want to remind this, that the concept of the transfer of sin, but it itself was not the sin offering. Now, let me tell you that this, it typified the consecration of the offerer to the Lord, and the purpose was that the sacrifice was without spot or blemish, acceptable. So that burnt offering was also a type of Christ in the aspect of when we saw in Ephesians, and I write this one down, Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, where it says, Christ also hath loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. And that's what we will kind of hit on today, because what this verse shows us is it shows us the surrender of Christ and how he was willing to give himself on the altar. And again, his altar was not the regular stone offering, but his altar was the cross itself. And so those are the things that we're going to take a focus at today. So quickly, if you would, I want to call your attention to the book of Ephesians, and you're going to look at Ephesians chapter 5, all right? Get there. And when you get there, we'll deal with that a little bit so that we can understand where we're going. And so, and with that being said, we won't be long. Today's session will be roughly about 30 minutes, and then after that we will continue this week. So, I mean, on Sunday is where we'll pick up. So again, we want you to look at Ephesians chapter 5. And so this scripture here is connected with Romans 12. We've looked at Romans 12. We've kind of talked about Romans 12 before. So you don't necessarily have to, like, turn there, Romans 12 and 1. But, you know, we've covered it before. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies and live in sacrifice holy, without blemish, acceptable unto the God, which is your reasonable service. And that aspect deals with the concept of God wanting to present ourselves and when he says without spot or blemish, you know, now all of us, this doesn't mean that a person who is lame or a person who is blind or a person who has any handicap or an ailment or a shortcoming, because of that being the case, none of us would be able to come to God, because, well, most of us have handicaps. It's just that some of our handicaps are more visible than other handicaps. But within that same respect, it does not mean that a person who, again, has these challenges cannot come to God. It just simply means that when you come to God, you need to come to God with all your strength, with all that you have, not with a broken effort, a lame effort. If you understand what I'm saying there, this is what he's describing. He's describing the attitude, basically, that you come, because how else are we holy and without blemish? Remember, God did not want certain things in the sacrifice, so it doesn't mean that he is throwing away certain groups of people, because we know that God. So what are we looking at, or what are we identifying with? Again, he's talking about the effort and the energy that you need to have when you come to God. So let's pause there. I did say to turn to Ephesians 5, but I also want you to write down that Romans 12. Because it's the energy, our living that we should possess when we come to God. A living sacrifice, that means alive, again, our effort, and not a dead effort or a dead energy. He wants us to be alive, and this is the aspect that I really wanted to point out about that. I know that kind of got away from Ephesians, but if you understand the work and what had to be in place for the sacrifice to have been made and accepted by God, then you'd understand wholly the effort that it took Christ in that aspect. Look at what it says. First thing it told us, we learned that Christ has, it describes how much that Christ has loved us, that he had given himself as an offering and a sacrifice. That was the work of the high priest. We learned that. That was his job, was to offer, make offerings and sacrifices to us. And it was the example that God shows us, and it was the example that he expects us to walk in and to imitate. That's the word we want to say. What he's saying is that everyone should walk in this same love and in the example of Jesus Christ. And that as God's children, we should not allow others to deceive us with empty words. And so here, let me flip my page. Here we go. Excuse me. So, when it talks about the surrender of Christ as a burnt offering, we're commended to follow that example and to walk in the way of love as Christ has loved us and gave himself for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. So let me connect you with that, because the sweet-smelling offering or the sweet-smelling savor that they talk about is the third of these offerings. Remember that we talked about that there were five offerings. The first was the burnt offering, the meat offering, and the peace offering. Now, I want to talk to you just briefly about the meat offering and the peace offering. So, and how these connect with Jesus Christ in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. Now, so the meat offering, you'll find that in Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And I want you to look that up, all right? It was it was also called the meal offering, and there were three kinds. The first one was unbaked flour, and it was ground fine, right? The meal offering, it was three kinds. The first was unbaked, and it was ground, finely ground flour of the meal offering were baked loaves or cakes, and those were baked in a pan. And we're going to deal with that a little bit and talk about some stories and some significance that it'll have when we talk about cakes and oil and that's of that nature. And the third, what we call green ears or ears of corn that were roasted. Okay, they would take ears of corn just like they do now, and they would roast these ears of corn. And, you know, sometimes it would be wheat, but, you know, basically it would be corn and it would be roasted. And the meal offering was mixed with oil, seasoned with salt, sprinkled with frankincense. And it was not to contain either leaven or honey. Now, the offerer was to bring his meal offering to the officiating priest, who was to take a handful of the offering and to throw it up and to sacrifice it upon the altar of burnt offerings, as the meal offering was never offered by itself in connection with a burnt sacrifice. You get it? So they would take this connection of ground up ears of wheat and corn, or what they call corn, but it was like roasted wheat, and oil and frankincense, and it created a fragrance. Now, they would pair this with the burnt offering. That's what we're getting to. And they would throw this up in the air so that it would fall on the whole burnt offering as it was being sacrificed. Again, did you catch that? It was not to contain honey or leaven. It was olive oil and salt and frankincense. Now, you'll find that again in Leviticus chapter 2, right? Leviticus chapter 2, verses 1 through 16. And we're talking about the meal offering. And this was in connection with what we're talking about of the sweet, savory offerings, right? So this meat offering or the meal offering would be offered mixed again, oil seasoned with salt and sprinkled with frankincense. Now, olive oil was largely used for food in the biblical days, on food, I should say, and is a type in the Bible itself, because the olive oil was considered the life-giving power. It gave power to life. And most of the things that they did was around olive oil. It was the center of life and the focus of life at that time, and that's what it was, right? So that was the olive oil. Again, it was used mostly on food and inhabitants in the Bible days, and it is a type in itself because it is a life-giving power. And so that would typify, I guess, the Holy Spirit that gives us the energy and the direction that restores us and energizes us and sustains us in that respect. So, again, salt was used for a lot of things. They used salt to keep things from spoiling, but they also used salt as an antiseptic. And they use it to prevent stuff from rotting, and they use stuff to prevent infections. They would put salt on the wound, even though it would burn, but it would keep it from being infected. And also the last of this was frankincense. Now, frankincense was like a resinous gum that came from a tree. And when it dried up, they would beat it and make it, crush it into a fine powder. And then thrown on the fire, and when it was thrown on the fire, it gave out this fragrance. And the frankincense was not to be mixed with the meal offering, but it was to be sprinkled upon with just a handful, and it was thrown upon the sacrifice with the burnt offering as it did it. So the only thing that was mixed onto the meal itself was the frankincense. I mean, it was the oil and the salt for that purpose. And then the frankincense, again, we learned, was not mixed with the meal offering, but it was sprinkled only with the handful. It was thrown up in the air, and the frankincense was given off a sweet-smelling savor. And all of the frankincense had to be burnt. Now, this was the altar, and before we get to our close, let me hurry down to my close, because we're getting to the tail point that I want to make this connection. Now, where have we heard that frankincense before? And where we've heard that frankincense before is when Jesus was born, and the wise men came and traveled from the east. They bought gifts to Christ. They bought him gold, myrrh, and frankincense. Now, the frankincense, again, was beautiful in itself, because when it was the offering or sacrifice, it gave off a sweet-smelling perfume or sweet. So was the wise man connected to the plan of God that far back in advance that he knew that Christ would be the burnt offering and the sin offering and the sweet savor offering, the meal offering? He would be these things way back then? Well, if you follow the scriptures of the Old Testament predictions, then he was able to identify that, because this is why they said, we have seen this star in the east. So we said that there was to be no honey and to be no leaven. So I'm going to research that tomorrow, but I know leaven was forbidden because it had the stuff in the leaven would spoil and ferment, and that was the reason why they didn't make bread on the road with leaven, because they needed the bread to last in the wilderness and not spoil. And that was it with that. And the only thing I can think about honey, because you know, truly, I know some people cook with honey, but honey is truly not supposed to be heated. That much I do know from my studies. And so I don't know. I know that certain things, the quality, the consistency, or its state changes once it's heated and cooked. And certain oils are not to be cooked, because once it does, it changes its structure and what it does and its importance. And so I know when you put a little honey in tea, well, that's not really putting it to fire. So I think that that must be the thing. I don't think you won't wanting to throw honey up in the air. It probably wouldn't work well at that aspect, I imagine. So but this was the aspect of that I wanted to make that connection with today. Now, again, this offering, this sacrifice was the burnt offering, and according to Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, the sweet savor, sweet smelling offering that was made to God. And this is what Jesus fulfilled in that aspect that we've been talking about. And so when you talk about that, we identify the type of Jesus Christ, even within that, in the book of Leviticus, right? So, and that's Leviticus chapter 2. We'll deal more with that on next week in detail, but I wanted to introduce that to us today, because that is going to be, a lot is going to be the key and most significant aspects of our study moving forward, because identifying and understanding what the significance of the sacrifice was is really going to be an important aspect to understanding the work of Jesus Christ as our high priest. So we understand that the Bible tells us God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth him in him should not perish but have everlasting life. He offered his son as a sacrifice for us. And so this is the beauty that is within this Old Testament that we're discussing. And so again, that is the book of Leviticus chapter 2. In summation, we're going to dig more in detail, but this is how it connects with Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 2. So if we are to do a type and a shadow and an anti-type, or a type and an anti-type, so the historic, the Old Testament is, of course, Leviticus chapter 2, verse 1 through 16. And the fulfillment of the New Testament fulfillment of prophecy happens in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2. And there is the support of our type and our anti-type and our shadow. So basically, the event that we talk about with the burnt offering and now today the meat offering or the sweet-smelling savor or the fragrant offering that we talked about, all of these make this connection into the sacrifice that was made, Day of Atonement, and needing to desire to restore the relationship back to God, to himself, back to himself. So that is our Old Testament survey today for the book of Leviticus, the first section of Leviticus, where we discuss the way to God by sacrifice. Again, we're learning about the way to God by sacrifice. And again, we want to thank all of you for your continued support and how you continue to dial in and listen up. And again, for those of you that may have missed previous episodes and you want to catch back up with where we were, you have the opportunity to catch any episode by way of on demand. You can just visit www.blogtalkradio.com. And you can visit any of our old episodes. But if you are, and those of you who continue to dial in and listen up again, thank you and God bless you for all that you do. It's unfortunate the helicopter's going over right now and sounding a little loud. So please forgive us for the sound that I could not filter out. But with that being said, again, we're so grateful to all of you who continue to support. And so we ask that you continue to be with us, and I look forward to seeing you and talking to you this Sunday for our broadcast. And so 8 a.m., we look forward to those of you who are able to get up and get there on time, and I mean to get up and get on the lines on time. We want you to do so. And so with that being said, again, thank you for joining us with this week's edition of Kingdom Keys, where the kingdom is our message and developing the kingdom mindset is our mission. With that being said, we want to say, and one more reminder, if your desire is to support us in sharing with bringing this broadcast forward, and so we invite you to share us and join us in supporting this along with the other members of myself, CL Taylor Community Outreach Ministries. You can send your gift made payable to C.L. Taylor Ministries at 8928 South Figueroa Street in the city of Los Angeles, and that zip code is 90003. Again, that is C.L. Taylor Ministries, 8928 South Figueroa Street in the city of Los Angeles, and that zip code is 90003. Again, thank you for joining us. God bless you and keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you and give you peace.